Hello and welcome to the Tank Slappers podcast, Autosport and the Motorsport Network's podcast for all things two-wheeled. I am your host, Lewis Duncan, and joining me as ever is Oriol Puigdemont and Yuri. It's time to look back over the 2021 season. It's season review time. It's that point of the year when we'd really just like to be on holiday at this point, but we'll talk about bikes for a bit longer.
Yeah. We are, on our, let's say, hibernation. I'm actually starting to miss the noise and the track activity. Let's see if this new virus thing allows us to keep traveling.
Yeah, that'll be one to keep an eye on over the winter. Of course, on this week's podcast, we'll talk about the season, the main championship battle of the 2021 season, which was it's one of the more interesting ones we've had for a while. Fabio versus Pecco. We expected Fabio to be quick this year, but I think Pecco's challenge was, I don't know if unsurprising is the right word, but I don't, certainly he didn't come into 2021 predicting to be a championship challenger, and what we got was quite an intriguing battle in the end between the two of them.
Yeah, I think that what Pecco did for himself was to build up this self-confidence that now he has and he's aware of. So I think it was this 2021, as you said, as you mentioned, we didn't expect him to be a title contender, but he will definitely be a title contender next year. So it was the right and the perfect step for him in order to put himself in the best possible position for next year. So from now on, I think Ducati is fully aware about which kind of rider and which kind of weapon they have in the team. So now it's time to try to deliver its maximum and to fight for getting back the title that they don't celebrate since 2007.
Yeah, I mean, Pecco and Fabio came into the season very much in similar circumstances, both promoted to the factory squad, both after quite difficult periods in 2020, where there was a lot of questions about were they capable of the factory step, were they good enough? So they had very similar kind of experiences in that sense. I mean, Fabio, more so than anyone, had a lot of pressure on him replacing Valentino Rossi at Yamaha, you know, pegged to be this championship challenger in 2020 and having a nightmare season come the end of it. And then to start the season the way he did, finishing fifth behind Maverick, winning the race in Qatar, there was still a lot of pressure on Fabio even when the season started, I think.
Yes, but at the same time, there are a few differences between them because the first year of Pecco in MotoGP, he struggled much more than the first year of Fabio in MotoGP. Fabio, during those years, has built up this potential that he definitely has shown last season. And Pecco, for Pecco, he needed a bit more time to show his best version. But as you say, at the moment, they are probably really there. With one main difference, from my point of view, the consistency of Pecco at the moment is higher than the Fabio's one. So let's see what Yamaha does during the winter, because I think that the bike needs to make a step, while the Ducati, apparently, it has already done it.
Yeah, we'll talk about that a little bit later, because there was an intriguing sort of prologue to next season during the Jerez test. But I just want to go back to Fabio and at the start of this season, because Yamaha made a big step with the bike. We saw that after a difficult 2020. 2021 bike was a lot more consistent. Fabio himself did a lot of work over the winter with a sports psychologist, and we saw almost straight away when there was difficulties, he was managing them better, and then he was able to start really putting that together. You know, he would have difficult races in Jerez, for example, where he had the arm pump issue, and then he would go on the podium the next one. You know, Barcelona, where he had the suit issue, and then he would be on the podium at the next race. That was a real key thing in his championship challenge, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think that the main difference between this year and last year, I mean 2021 in compared with 2020, was that the issues that he had this year were very well defined. Meanwhile, I mean, while last year's issues, sometimes he was not able, and the team was not able to explain the reasons behind that issues, which is the most worrying thing for a MotoGP rider, not for a MotoGP rider, for a rider or even driver. It's very difficult to face and to deal with an issue in which you don't know where it comes from. So this year, the problem with the arm pump was really easy to find. He was the one feeling it. The same in Montmeló with the leather thing. And other than that, he was able to manage his lowest points in a reasonable good result. Let's put it this way. So that's the main difference in compared with last year.
Yeah, for sure. What was intriguing as well as about Fabio's season was, and Andrea Dovizioso spoke about this a lot as he began to understand the Yamahas. He always kept pointing out that what Fabio did on the bike was something crazy, was something amazing. And if you look at obviously how Maverick's season went while he was still at Yamaha, if you look at Valentino's results, I remember you earlier this year sort of making the comparison between, you know, how Yamaha's situation with Fabio was almost a little bit like how Mark and Honda have been over the past few years, is that one rider was really able to get the best out of it while the rest sort of struggled.
Feel really strange or unique years, like when Jorge and Vale were sharing the 2008, 2009, 2010 bikes. Apparently, it goes this way. So a brand with one really clear and number one rider and the others struggling to keep up and to be there. So in a way, I can understand why this is happening. But at the same point, it's a bit risky, as we've seen with Honda and Mark. I'm really looking forward to see what Ducati is gonna do next year with both factory riders, and to see if they clearly have a number one rider in Pecco, or the situation is more balanced. Yeah. At the same time, I don't see Frankie at this moment having this power or strength than Fabio has shown this year.
For sure. Ducati's season was really interesting because, like you mentioned, it was, Pecco's consistency is arguably better than Fabio's, but, the riders claim anyway that the 2021 bike isn't hugely different from last year's, but they had a lot more problems last year, whereas this year Ducati really seemed to have been able to improve all of its weak areas, you know, particularly with turning, and they've really been able to marry everything together. They've got a bike now that is very quick over one lap. They've got a bike that's consistent over a race, and there's no such thing as a Ducati circuit or a non-Ducati circuit anymore. It seems really like that they've got the bike working, but I guess a large part of that comes down to Pecco himself. You know, Pecco's riding style has always been singled out as being very, very good on the Ducati.
I I spoke with Davide Terdozzi in the last race of the championship, and he pointed out that the main difference between this year and the years before is that this year the riders, they don't forget that they have changed completely the lineup of both factory bike and Pramac team. So the new riders have are more open-minded than the old ones, and that's something that even Casey Stoner said that in the last press conference. I think it was in Portimao, if I'm not wrong. He told us that the main difference between his era and the current era is that he, I remember that quote because it was quite strong. He said, I never had that ego on trying to adapt the bike to my riding style, but I tried to do the opposite. I was the one trying to adapt my riding skills and my riding style to each and one of the bikes I always jumped on. So that, in a way, it fits with what Terdozzi told me.
Yeah, definitely. You got the impression this year that the atmosphere within Ducati was much better than it had been for some time. We know obviously the ego clashes between Gigi Delini and Dovi before.
And not only with Gigi, and don't get me wrong, I'm not talking anything wrong about or anything bad about Dovi, but because Dovi had clashes with Jorge as well, because Jorge has a huge ego as well. So it's just the new generation without, I mean, don't forget that Pecco is a Moto2 world champion, but in a MotoGP environment, he has won almost nothing. Don't get me wrong. Nothing, when I say is when you compare Pecco with Mark, with Vale, with Jorge, with, you know what I mean? So his ego is not the same.
Yeah, it's very much a kind of a general thing amongst this new generation, is they are very quite grounded characters. You know, Joan Mir was the same last year, Fabio is the same, Pecco, Jack, they're all...
And they don't have any reason to be that, let's say, cocky, if you allow me to use this word.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, I mean, Jorge Martin arrives and gets a pole and a win. So if you are Pecco, it's better to stay, you know, to don't open your mouth too much because, you know, we have a really, really, really huge level in MotoGP, and it's better to keep working and to don't say anything, because anybody can leave you in a in a bad way, in a bad position.
Yeah, for sure. Just continuing with Ducati, I mean, the second half of the season, the first half of the season for Pecco was a bit up and down. You know, he started off well, and then there was just that little bit of kind of up and down with results. Some of that was bad luck, to be fair. There was some tyre issues that really hit him a couple of times. Austria won after the restart, Silverstone as well. But from Aston onwards, Pecco was on the front row in every single race. And then from the Austrian Grand Prix, except for Silverstone, he was on the podium at every single race. He really identified the main weakness in his game at that point and really, really took off. And, you know, he only ended up 26 points behind Fabio, who had a difficult kind of final few races. And, you know, had there been one more race at the end of the championship, things could have been putting a little bit more pressure on him. So Pecco really does go into the winter, I think, as perhaps the most comfortable of the two of them.
Yeah, but you never know, because at some point I would have loved to see Fabio in a much closer competition with Pecco at the end of the season, because you never know if Fabio was over, let's say, if you allow me, over relaxed after getting the title, you know, which is understandable after this amount of pressure he's been dealing with during the whole season. It's normal that once you get your target, you relax a bit and say, okay, now I'm recharging my batteries and next year I will fight back again. But Which is clear is that since Pecco started to be more competitive and more competitive since Austria, and then when he got these back-to-back podiums, wins, even fighting with Mark in Aragon, and so, it was a huge boost of self-confidence for him. And I was speaking with Lee Jarvis a few days ago, and he was referring to Fabio, saying that now what this title would bring or will bring to Fabio for the future. And he says, now he realizes that he can win because he's done it already. So he can do it again. And he told me, it's like when a MotoGP rider wins his first ever Grand Prix. Normally what happens is that he wins the first one, and then the second one, immediately second one, or even third one. Why? Because this self-confidence makes him believe that he can do it again. And that's what I think that can have a huge impact on Pecco's career from now on.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you saw that after that. You know, his first win came in arguably the hardest circumstances possible, fighting Marc Márquez.
Yeah.
Which, you know...
He just kept the momentum.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, the Misano crash aside, and really that wasn't anything to do with Pecco. That was just, you know, hard front tire, cold conditions. It happened to a lot of people that race. There was no signs of Pecco cracking. There was no, he never looked weak from after that Aragon win. Whereas Fabio, there were cracks there. Like you say, it's hard to tell if maybe he was just, the pressure was different after the championship. But, I mean, you saw at Portugal how hard he had to push when he got stuck behind Ducatis because of the deficiencies in the Yamaha, and he crashed. Whereas Pecco very much just seemed relaxed. He just seemed a rider at one with his bike.
Which is clear is that at the moment, the best package is Pecco with Ducati. Because not only us or all the other riders, also Fabio keeps saying that. So at the moment, I think probably Pecco is the main candidate, the main title contender for next year.
Yeah, for sure, and it's exciting because, you know, there's a lot of talk over the winter about, you know, MotoGP goes into a new era, you know, the post-Rossi era of MotoGP, what's going to come next? And, you know, Pecco versus Fabio seems like it has all the makings of being a great, great MotoGP duel.
Yeah, we have to wait and see, because I would love to see a few more riders involved in that fight. Also, Suzuki needs to make a step, especially with Juan, and... let's see what happens with Honda and Mark. If Mark is definitely is finally able to come back healthy and fit, we'll probably have a completely different dimension of the championship. But I don't see the future of the MotoGP in a close fight between only Pecco and Fabio.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I hope so. That would be great. That's what we've not had for so long, as a multi-rider championship battle. That would be fantastic. Of course, you mentioned Mark and such. We'll talk about those guys in another podcast. And of course, I know people will probably want us to talk about Maverick and that whole situation. We'll talk about that next week. But I just want to look ahead to 2022, specifically Pecco and Fabio, because we got the first glimpse of that kind of battle at Jerez last week in the test. Ducati came out with what Pecco said was, well, he said already the bike was perfect and they've made it a step. Fabio said the bike Yamaha brought was no different to what he tested in Misano, and it really isn't enough right now. And he said something that was very, very interesting, in that he said he will not think about signing anything for 2023 until he's seen what Yamaha brings to him in February at Sepang, which is, which was a very interesting comment. Just what's your kind of thoughts about it?
I think we can make another podcast. We can do another podcast at some point over the winter, talking about the contract situation and how all the COVID thing has impact on the riders market. But talking about Fabio, I think it's a statement he needs to do, and he needed to do at that point just to show Yamaha that they need to keep working on the bike for next year. But at the same time, I don't see where else Fabio can go.
Yeah, I think that's a fair point. It's just an interesting. It's not what you would expect to hear from the world champion straight away. You know, putting pressure on Yamaha.
Well, I think he's trying to do that. He's trying to put pressure on Yamaha. But at the same time, I don't think, but that's my personal feeling and I can be wrong. I don't see that is the best way to put pressure on Yamaha, talking about the contract, just because Yamaha is aware of all the market situation and the possibilities that they can be open. And I don't see, I mean, in a way I understand why Fabio is trying to put pressure on Yamaha in order to try to make the brand and the constructor keep working on that bike. But I mean, I don't see, in other words, we are not sure if Fabio would be so competitive in a Honda, let's put it this way, or in a Ducati, or you know what I mean? So there's nothing that you can give as a fact at the moment.
Yeah, for sure. It's a very interesting thing. We'll keep an eye on that as the winter goes on. Of course, looking to testing next year, Yamaha only has 1 week, essentially, you know, two days at Sepang, 3 days in Indonesia, split by a week to get things right with this bike. There's, it's already on the back foot a little bit if you think how well Ducati is going right now. You know, Yamaha needs to make a big step, and it's, there's a bit of pressure on them, I think, would be fair to say.
Yeah, but it's not the same when you have the headquarters in Europe and you are the last part of the championship have been in Europe. The main championship have been in Europe, except Austin. And if you are an Asian or Japanese manufacturer and you have your main factory in Japan. So I think now they need to work on all the information and then put it together in the Sepang. There, in Sepang, we will have all the new parts and we will have a more clear idea about what to expect from Yamaha. Because for Ducati, it was very easy to send all the new parts to Jerez. For Yamaha, considering all the limitations, and don't forget about all the travel restrictions and so, it was not easy. So I think that we will need to wait a bit until Sepang to get a more clear picture about the potential from Yamaha.
Yeah, well, very much looking forward to being at Sepang and seeing the new bikes and seeing the progress made. That'll be, I think we're in for one of the most interesting pre-seasons for a long, long time. Yuri, thank you very much for your company. We'll wrap it up there. We'll be back next week to discuss more of the big talking points from 2021, and there were a lot of them. But until then, keep checking out our other podcasts from all of our series on Autosport on all your podcast platforms, and of course follow Autosport and motorsport.com for all things two-wheeled. We'll be keeping busy over the winter with stories and features and such, so yeah, lots to keep you entertained. But until next time, it's a very warm goodbye, and keep looking after yourselves.